Nobody know your story but you. Matter of fact, I'm really of the mindset that even we don't understand our story fully. But some of us have gotten to the place where we have looked back and we recognize nobody. It's been nobody but God that brought us over. And when you really think about it, that he kept us, that he brought us, that he was there when we didn't deserve for him to be there. You can't help but shout his glory and say, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, even now. Lord, even now. Lord, it's all about you. As we stand here to preach that which you have laid on our hearts, Lord, show yourself. Show yourself as glorious. Show yourself as marvelous. Allow us to see you a little bit higher. That our praise may rise up higher. That our gratefulness and thankfulness may rise up higher. That we may stand in awe of you. Lord, even now, saturate this place with your manifest presence and your glory. Amen. We are on the fifth sermon of this series, living a life of faith that God blesses. Because all faith is not biblical faith. And God only blessed faith that he ordains out of his word. And I don't know about you. I want all the blessings that God has for me. I have already missed too much. I'm not planning on missing no more what God has planned for me. But in order to say that, you have to believe God intends to bless you. In order to say that, you got to believe God has good in mind for you. In order to really walk in that, we have to get past this lie that Satan's been telling from the beginning of mankind, that God is not for us. Today, I hopefully will be able to walk us into where Satan lied to the first man, Adam. Then parallel that when Jesus comes, the second Adam, to give us our victory. Amen. Genesis chapter 3. You can stand this time. Giving honor to God. Giving honor to God. Reading out of the King James, and it reads as such in our hearing. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he spoke to a woman and said, has God indeed said you should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor you shall not touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. And For God knows that in the day that you eat of the tree, there will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Your eyes will be open. So when a woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and it was a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband that was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of them was open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together and made themselves a covering.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of a day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Stop there. Lord, even now. We really don't understand the magnitude of the fall until you understand the magnitude to the level God made intended for you and I. Nothing else in all creation did God make in his image. We're not talking about physically, we're talking about spiritually. I was doing a study on planet, and there's a planet that is made of diamonds. And around it circle a diamonds that circle around it. The things that are made in the galaxy in the universe is so amazing that scientists shake their heads and say, "How can this be?" Did you know that they have only discovered 3% of what's in the sea on Earth? We still discovering, we still being blown away. God has made everything so beyond imagination, but yet, in the original context of making us, we was greater than anything. I told you before that we are in a spiritual battle, whether you want to be in it or not. And the reason why you are in a spiritual battle, because you were made in God's image, and though you were originally perfect in that image, when Adam fell, it was merged. And they fell. The devil couldn't stand that God loved us like that. The devil couldn't stand that he made us higher than the angels. The devil couldn't stand that God put more glory on the inside of us than he put on him on the outside. That's why when, as children of God, if you have accepted the Lord, you shouldn't have a inferior complex, because you're his child. He loves you. He chose you. He even gave his life for you when he became a man. That's how much God thinks of you. Regardless of what anybody else says, you ought to tell yourself, "I'm chosen. He loves me. He has purpose for me. He gave me his DNA." See, we got to let go of what the tags that Satan put on us and begin to walk in who God says we are. Whenever we move out of position of being under the authority of God, we fall. We miss out. We begin to walk in the curse. Here Satan is as a snake, and I'm going to do this fast because I already got some of it. But here he is. He can't get into their minds, so he gets into their ears. He did not have access to communicate in their minds like he has with us, because that happened after the fall. Tell the devil to get out your mind. Get out my thinking. Because we are bombarded by thoughts that is not of God, ideals that is not coming from God. We are bombarded by TV, social media, everything, the news. And if we continually watch that stuff, and we continually stay there, your mind is a running review of everything you put in you. Also, some of y'all don't believe me. Okay. Whatever you watch, go immediately in prayer and see if your mind is still not playing that ball game. Playing that soap opera. Playing whatever. Well, because it's whatever you put in. I don't even have to worry about that. Because God put them in a perfect place, in a perfect environment, walking in perfect union. They was naked and didn't even know they was naked. But they was covered by the glory of God. Satan comes, and what he does, as all desire does, is to make you think he's gonna give you what you want. It wasn't the fruit. It was God's holding back on you. He knows that the day that you eat of this tree, you will be like him. Why is that desirable? Every child wants to be like their mom or dad if they have a good mom or dad. A little boy puts on his dad's shoes and start walking in the shoes. The little girl start playing in makeup now, about 3 or 4 years old. Why? Because they are patterning themselves after the parents, and God was their Abba. Abba is between dad and daddy, father and daddy. There was an intimate relationship. All they knew was him, and God was downloading into them everything they needed to know at the right time they needed to know it. He was showing them everything they needed to see at the right time. He was walking them into their purpose. He was walking them into their authority. They was learning to be up under his authority because he was teaching them to be leaders and rulers on the earth. Where does God want to take you, us, but we're not listening? What is it that we're in a hurry to get to, but we're not ready to get there? What decisions have we made because we felt like it? What is it we shook off from God because we didn't trust him? You know what? No, my greatest fear is, when I get to heaven, he's going to show me what I missed. Because I spent so many years chasing the wrong thing, thinking I knew something. So here Eve sees, he's holding back from you, and this tree will make you your one desire and your greatest desire like him. Like him. For fellas, Adam was not in the garden. Adam was not away. Adam was standing right there. In the conversation, Eve even get it wrong. He said, have not God said that you can't eat of the tree, all the trees of the garden? She said, oh, we can't eat all of them, just the one in the midst, and we can't touch it. God never said you can't touch it. But she's saying what she heard from Adam, because God told Adam who should have spoke up. Why do we stay quiet when we need to speak up? Sometimes part of the problem is nobody's brave enough to speak the truth. You speak it in love, but you have nothing to compare the lie to until the truth is spoken. Then it's not our responsibility that people choose the truth. It's just our responsibility to lay out the truth. Yeah. As children of God, those of us that are born again, we are truth bearers. Let me take us to Matthew. I want to parallel to Jesus, because Jesus comes as the second Adam. I'm gonna go switching back and forth, okay? But I believe you can keep up with me, okay? Here they are in a place of beauty, but they are sent out into the desert. There was no desert before their sin, because the desert is a curse. The curse that God put on the woman is now you will have childbirth in labor. And you almost will come to death, or you may die. And somebody said, well, that's worse than what the man. Well, let me get there. What he was saying is, now, life is going to be hard. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Life is now going to hurt. Yes, sir. You are now have walked away from my blessing. Part of my blessing is that there will be no pain in life. But now that you have walked out from under my authority, life for every human being, life for every child born from a woman, it wasn't intended that way, but because now you have allowed the devil to enter into this world, there's going to be pain, suffering. To the man, he says, the ground didn't even have to rain. The dew in the morning would water the grass. And there was no weeds, there was no thistles, there was nothing. Matter of fact, all you do is separate it. It's meant to produce. It's meant to be fruitful. One of the signs, symbols of fruitfulness is the pomegranate. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I know some people who eat pomegranates, but I don't understand pomegranates. Because when you cut it, there's more seeds than fruit. A pomegranate can have over 1,000 seeds. The high priest on the bottom of his robe, when he went into the Holy Holy, had a bell, meaning that if the bell quit ringing, he's dead. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And a pomegranate, which means if he does this right, God's will to multiply, give increase. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are standing, each of us. We are standing in the place in the middle of desert and the promise. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are standing by the decisions we make to walk either in God's blessing or the curse that is already here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I wish I would have knew this way before. I wish somebody would have taught me when I was a baby. If I would have known these principles, I would have made better decisions way earlier. We are living in a spiritual, it's a physical. physical dimension, but it is ruled by spiritual rules. And we can either walk in it to bless ourselves or walk in it. And you know, and what's this? The reason why many times we don't know we're walking in the curse because the fruit hasn't came up yet. It's choice. The love of God gave them choice. Here Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, he is the second Adam. When he says, I am the Son of Man, what he's saying is this: I am now the second representative of mankind, humanity. I now, humanity, their future is based on what I do. I now hold on me the salvation, the blessing, and the future of all humanity, past and all humanity future. Somebody need to get this. He said, since all humanity fell with the first Adam, I now have come as a second Adam to do for them what they cannot do for themselves. So now I have come that there would be a way to heaven, there'd be a way to walk in blessing, that the curse is now being eradicated off those who is found in Christ. If we can only see this, then we understand that our whole entire life is about the choices we make. Our faith, walking in faith with God and believing God for a future we can't see. How can I say it? I'm going to say it. I don't know how to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I just don't want to go to heaven. I want everything he has for me down here. I've been on the other side, then did the other side, then ate all that, don't want that no more. So now I made up my mind, Lord, I repent of all that. Now, Lord, I've made up my mind, I'm going to trust you even when I don't understand you. Because you're better than that, even in my struggle. I got a question. I know I'm running out of time. Has God been better to you even in your hard times than what the devil gave you? Just his presence. Just his peace. You know, just knowing that God got you covered. Yeah. Is there anybody in the house that know you covered? Yeah. Things happen. Life happens. Situations happen. People act funny. People are funny. Yeah. But you are still knowing without a shadow of a doubt that you are in his hands. Yeah. And he doesn't do anything else. Watch Jesus. He just been baptized. And after he baptized, it says this: the Spirit. Let me explain this. John chapter 3, somewhere around 30 through 39, it says this: that he was given the Spirit without measure. But if Jesus is God, why does he need the Spirit? I'm letting you think. Though he is fully God, he does nothing as God because he came as a man. He comes under authority. He comes as a servant. He comes to make up for what Adam did. So watch it. His character is God. He's fully God, but he come surrender as the role as a servant to teach us how we ought to be. Because since Adam messed it up, we have no example of what we are supposed to be. Let me throw this at you. Hold your example. Some of us, Satan has though so deceived us, we are falling people who don't even know God. We have set things as example that is ungodly. Our perspective needs to change. Christ came as he was saying, watch me walk this in the spirit, because when you're born again, you're supposed to walk in the spirit. When we go through the gospel of John, he says this. How much time I got? He says that, he says, I don't do nothing unless I see the Father do it. I don't say nothing unless I hear the Father say it. That's why when Mary asked him to turn the water into wine, Jesus said, woman. That is not your place. Because listen, she thought that he could just use his power arbitrarily. No, because that would be him coming up from under authority. He would do the same thing Adam did. In that conversation, the Father must have spoke to his heart and said, son, it's okay. But can I be honest with you? That was a test. That was a temptation. His mom asked. So his mom, who he loved. Even if your mama tell you to. Even if your daddy tell you to. If it's not in the word of God, I would rather not fit in and be right with Jesus than to fit in and be right with somebody who can't do nothing for me. And we got to be that strong. So here he is, the fasted 40 days. He's hungry because he has a physical body. And Satan comes and watch this for a temptation. It's funny that John says, 1 John chapter 2 says that all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, or the craving of the physical.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The gratification of the physical being. He's hungry. He says, if thou be the Son of God, turn these rocks. You hungry. Your father hasn't provided for you, and you out here in a desert. Let me stop there. Here, the first Adam is in the garden and failed the test. God cursed the earth where there'll be desert places. So now God take him into the cursed place. You know what Jesus has done? He has walked into our curse. He has walked into our barrenness. He has walked into our loneliness. In order to pass the test.
Yes, sir.
that you and I keep failing. Desire is not the problem. It's when we allow the desire to make moves without God. He always go, listen, I say this before, I'm going to say it again. You can't tempt me with chitlins. You can put hot sauce on it. I don't want no chitlins. I don't care who cook it. I can't get past the test. I know where they come from. I don't want no chitlins. So Satan is not going to test you with what is not appealing. He's a genius. Insidious genius. And he knows how to create the perfect scenario. He don't come at the beginning of the 40 days. He come at the end. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He comes just when you are at the height of giving up. He comes and he says, you don't have to take all this. You have to go through all this. God will bless you if you just go do something. And he will put something in the way. See, we all been here. We all fell for this. We didn't know that was a oop-a-doop, I think it's called. Band is it? Bamboozle. The secret is this, to understand how the devil operates and begin to identify it before we're in it. A scripture that I hear people use all the time, it says, God will not put more on you than you can bear. Yes, he will. You didn't read on. It says, wherewith he will make a way of escape. Come. And I know I'm out of time. When the Satan comes, God will always create a space that he can't cross over. Listen, it's not that it grabs you and make you not a Christian. This is when it comes this close, this is the point of decision to back up out of it, to change your mind, to walk away, or whether we're gonna grab it, and once you grab it, then you can't stop. The way of escape is that it's this space where it will not overwhelm you. And God gives power of decision. When Eve saw the tree, they could have rebuked the devil any time in that decision. But watch it. He said, as she saw that the tree looked good. Did a little bit more consideration of it. Did she saw it was desirable to eat? Why didn't she abort it at the beginning? Why didn't she stop the thought process? Once Satan had her thinking, once she start rationalizing of why she does, what she's going to do, and start making excuses for what she, you know, I realized that in our sin, if we want to continue in our sin, we will rationale. We make excuses. Because the process of the fall is in the thinking. Jesus, you hungry. You may die out here. You better eat something. I know you got the power to turn these rocks into stones. Into bread. Okay, I reversed it. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. You know what he's saying? I'm under authority. I know my Father's gonna come see about me. I'm not gonna act outside of what he's leading me. And though I have the power to do it, I don't have the orders to do it. I'm staying up under his covering. Because I know even being hungry, it's best to be hungry up under his covering than to be fed out of his covering. I guess I need to wrap this up. But I'm going to stay right here. I want to tell everybody, anybody, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather be right where he wants me to be, because if I'm right where he wants me to be, I know sooner or later he's going to come see about you. I don't want to get myself in trouble. Trouble that I don't have to go through because I wasn't willing to wait on him. Is there anybody in the house who's willing to make up your mind that as best as you can, that you're going to follow him with every step, with every decision, that you're going to pray about your next step because you want God to lead you? Listen, the blessing that you need is in God's hands. The satisfaction you're looking for is wrapped up in God's hands. The only one that can make you fulfilled, the only one that can bless you real good, the only one that can make you get you to your purpose. His name is Jesus. You need to call on the name of Jesus. You need to say, get behind me, Satan, because I'm not listening to you. I know where my blessing is. I know where my power is. I know where my satisfaction is. And this is Jesus, the best thing that ever happened to us. His name, that's power in his name. She fell for the lust or desire of her eyes. Because Satan promised her something that he couldn't deliver. I don't have to ask you, didn't he lie to you? No, I don't have to, because I can say to all of us, didn't he lie to us? Don't be ashamed. Didn't he lie to you? Because your neighbor next to you, he lied to them too. Because when we were sinners, the root of us was sin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When you accept Jesus Christ, he changed you at your core.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
you're not a sinner anymore. You're a saint that sins sometimes. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, that all things have become new. You are a new creation. It's core. It's core. It's what he did on the inside and gave you his spiritual DNA. So when he sees you as his child. Give God some praise for that. Those that are watching, I hope you know Jesus. I pray you know Jesus. In the house, have you asked God, have you come to the place that you recognize that you said, Lord, I don't add up to what you are calling me to be. And nobody does. I need you as my Savior. I repent. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I let go of me, and I'm asking you to come into my life. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins, and you got up for my salvation. So today, I give you my life. Bible says if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, at that moment, God comes in. A change takes place. You don't have to feel anything except from you said the words, and the Bible says if you say that, do it with all of your heart, that a change come about you. And you learn to walk in the Spirit. In the house, there might be some people who need just prayer. You need someone to walk you through that prayer. They can do this here. We ask that you come even now as we stand.